Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the most haunted doll in America, Robert the Doll, with doll tender Dan Radomski. Robert the Doll is known as one of the world's most terrifying dolls and is Key West's most cursed object. In 1904, he was a gift to Robert Eugene Otto, and they developed a strong and strange bond, and before long, unexplained things started happening in their house. Legend has it that this 118-year-old straw doll is still haunted by a malevolent spirit to this day. Robert the Doll now resides in the Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, and the strange occurrences continue to happen. I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we'll talk more about Robert the Doll, as well as the hauntings of Fort East Martello and Key West, with doll tender Dan Radomski. Let's talk about Fort Martello. When was that built? This is like 1850s, early 60s?
Yeah, they built it during
60s? The
Civil War. Okay. They started in 1862. So the Civil War history in Key West is interesting. It was the only Southern city that never belonged to the Confederacy. It had always belonged to the Union. So the war kicked off in 1861, but there was already a military presence in Key West, Fort Zachary Taylor. It's a big fortress. It's still there today. It's a state park now. Early in the war, this Union captain, Captain Brannan, he knew that Key West would be a very good strategic position for the Union to hold. So he took about 30 men. They came down to Key West. They claimed Fort Zachary Taylor for themselves, and nobody opposed them. So the next morning, everybody wakes up and Key West belongs to the Union, and it remains under their control for the rest of the war. They were worried, though, that the Confederacy up in Florida, that they would try to come down to Key West. They would try to attack and take the island over. So they started to build more fortifications to help defend it there. And that's why Fort East Martello exists. And that's why they started to build that. They started working on it in 1862. That's when the construction kicked off there.
So interesting to me, because when you think about the Civil War history, you don't think about all the way down in Florida to Key West.
Right. It's a very strategic position, right? These shipping lanes that sort of make their way around the Keys. It was a good place for the Union to hold. There were never any battles fought here on Key West, right? It never made it that far down, like any war, like sort of like on land. It never happened in the Keys. But Key West was a good naval position for the Union, and they ran blockades out from the island. And the blockades were very successful. They captured a couple hundred Confederate ships, and it had a pretty big impact on the war. It helped it to end a lot sooner.
Not only was it a fort, but at one point it was a hospital for yellow fever patients?
Yeah, there were very bad waves of yellow fever that struck Key West back in the 1860s. And Fort East Martello, it was on the outskirts of the town, right? Like on the edges. So people started to get sick with yellow fever, and they didn't really understand the illness, right? They didn't know what to do with people that were getting sick, but they wanted to get them away from everybody else, right? Get them away from the general population. So they sent them out to Fort East Martello, where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people died of illness. Things like dysentery as well, but the main killer then was yellow fever back in the 1860s.
So do you feel like it is haunted more by people who passed there from yellow fever as opposed to having anything at all to do with the Civil War history? Or do you pick up on both?
I feel like you pick up on both. Some of the more intense experiences I've had in there have been in the yellow fever hospital. It was such an awful way to go, right? Such a horrible illness. People, like, their last days of their life were spent in that fort. Terrible suffering, right?
Okay.
And places like that, they're the ones that usually are haunted, right? Places where there's been a lot of death and suffering and bad energy sort of trapped in there. And Fort East Martello, it definitely feels like that. People pick up on they always say it's heavy, right? They pick up on the heaviness, that atmosphere change. Everybody's on edge while they're in there. So what I feel like we interact with a lot in that building in terms of like paranormal experiences, we pick up on soldiers, townspeople, slaves, nurses, people that were all sent there and died of illnesses, mainly yellow fever victims.
And I was reading there are more than 40 documented spirits there. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yeah. That number's based on names we've gotten, right? And different videos and using spirit boxes and what people sensitive to the paranormal have picked up on over the years. So yeah, there's quite a few things that we interact with in the fort. Sometimes when people do their investigations in there, they'll get full names. One of them, a little while ago, somebody got the name William White very clearly in a video. And sure enough, we were able to look back and there was a Union soldier named William White. He died there of yellow fever back in 1863.
What are some of the experiences that you've heard, some kind of stories that you've heard of hauntings there?
Well, there's a few different areas of the fort that seem to be more active than others. The big one is the yellow fever hospital, the quarantine area. In the middle of the fort, in the courtyard, there's a big tower. It's called the Citadel. The Citadel was the hospital, was the quarantine area. People have a lot of different experiences up there. People feel like they're physically touched a lot up there. That always happens to people. People hear coughing, disembodied voices, and footsteps, like sounds of things being dragged along the floor around them. And we do this every night there, right? So you can come and take the tour. After the tour, you have an option to explore the fort on your own for a while. We give you different ghost hunting equipment. We kind of set you loose so you can do your own thing. Pretty much every night, somebody has an experience in there.
Do you find it to be kind of a terrifying, scary presence? Or does it vary night to night? Or does it vary location to location within the fort?
So I do the tour alone a lot, right? Sometimes I have like a coworker with me. When I do it alone, I'm on edge the whole time. There's a lot of anticipation of waiting for something to happen, even with all the lights on. And like, I'll put headphones in and try to listen to like some happy music as I set up for the tour, as I put some things out. I'm scared the whole time. Yeah. It's a weird, freaky place. Yeah. It's very naturally creepy. The building, right? All these old bricks. And we put on like spooky LED lighting, right? Like make it lit up red and stuff. And as you walk around in there, it's easy to let your imagination run a little bit, right? You can really freak yourself out. But things happen to me often. I'm always like anticipating like something about, you know, something about to happen to me. So the whole time I'm in there, I am on edge. In terms of what I feel like it is, it's like a negative sort of presence or something like a little more malicious, I'm not too sure. It's always different. I do feel somber in there, though. You feel for the people that would have been there and would have died of illness back in the 1860s.
Because that would be such a tragic sort of energy left behind. You know, these people died in such a horrible way.
Yeah, you can imagine their life circumstances leading up to it too, right? A lot of the soldiers there, they would have been immigrants. They would have been German or Irish guys, and they would have been recent arrivals to the country. They probably joined the Union. It was one of the only ways for them to earn like a steady paycheck, right? So you would listen, the Union probably joined up somewhere in some northern city like Philly or New York, and then they sent you off down to Key West, right? You can imagine how isolated and miserable Key West was back then, right? Super hot, little fresh water available on the island.
Right.
The town was dirty. Yeah. So you're in a foreign place. You're sent off down to Key West and only to end up contracting and dying of something like yellow fever, right? And I feel like that's why that energy is trapped there, why they linger in that place.
Because you just gave me something to think about I hadn't thought about. As a Union soldier, we're sending you to Key West, and you're like, yeah, that place is beautiful. And you don't think about in 1862 or whenever you might have ended up there, there wasn't fresh water. It's so far down there that even supplies and different things that you would need would be in scarce supply, I would think.
Yeah, and then it was more difficult, right? You're trying to navigate around the Confederacy, trying to get down to Key West and get supplies to these guys down there. Yeah.
When you leave at the end of the night, between being in the fort for several hours, spending time with Robert the Doll, do you kind of feel ever like you have to kind of have a routine maybe so nothing follows you home? Look, I'm at work. I'm leaving y'all behind now. I'm heading out to my house. You guys stay here. I'll see you tomorrow. Do you have kind of a ritual that you do?
We do offer some things to cleanse with before you leave the fort there. Some different things. We have holy water, different things used in Santeria, like Florida water and Cascadian powder. I do cleanse every now and then. If I have like sort of a more intense experience, I will use something to go home. But the first time I was in there was on Halloween night. I came in as a guest on the tour. At the end of the night, they offered us the things to cleanse with, and I didn't use any of them. And I came back to my house here. The place I live, it's not very old. It was built in the 90s. Nobody's ever died in here. No crazy stories. Something happened to me in my house that Halloween night. I was in my room, and I was just about to fall asleep. I left my bathroom light on, though. So I got up in bed, went to go turn the bathroom light off, looked in the bathroom, and then I saw my light switch get flicked from on to off, like somebody pushed it down. And I like froze in my bed with fear, like, oh, like I could not believe that it just happened. And then I was freaked out for the next few days. Other than that, though, I've never had any experiences in my house. I don't feel like anything's ever followed me again after that.
What I think is interesting that happened to you, yet not only did you go back, but you went back as an employee.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was
it's fun. There's like a sort of like a thrilling sort of aspect of being in there. Right. And it's such a cool building. And I feel like very fortunate to be sort of wandering around in there in the middle of the night. So it's an awesome place to be.
Now, Key West, there's quite a few haunted locations in the city, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a ton of stories down here. A lot of them are bars now, right? Like a lot of haunted bars that are down here. But the buildings are so old, they've been used for different things throughout the time here in Key West. A lot of the stories are centered around the Wreckers. Do you know anything about the Wreckers?
I don't.
Here in Key West?
No, tell me.
So one of the big industries in Key West was shipwrecking back in the 1800s. The reefs around Key West are treacherous, right? And it was a big port for importing and exporting goods. A lot of these ships, they would wreck themselves on the reefs. A call would go out around the town. Everybody would hop in their boats, sail out to these wrecks and collect as much stuff as they could. And they would bring them back to shore and they would sell off these goods. But you know, a lot of death was associated. It was a very dangerous profession. A lot of these goods are also said to, you know, sort of like have an attachment to them. So a lot of the stories are people haunting their old Key West homes that were these famous wreckers. One of the big ones is William Curry. He was a big wrecker. He's said to haunt the Curry Mansion. Captain Geiger is said to haunt what's a historical place now called the Audubon House. So a lot of it is centered around that, the wrecking industry. But other than that, like all these, most of the buildings that are downtown, right, they've been there forever. A lot of them were homes where people died of illnesses like yellow fever. Generations of families have lived in these buildings. Other than the fort, my favorite haunted building in Key West is Captain Tony's. Have you ever heard of Captain Tony's?
No. Well, maybe I have when I was visiting.
Yeah, it's a super famous bar. The building was built in the late 1850s. At first, the building was used for, it was an ice house and was also a morgue. So the way that they would put the bodies, right, they would lay them on ice to just sort of like store them like that. So the building was a morgue. There's a tree that grows through the middle of the bar. Before the structure was there, that tree used to be the town's hanging tree. Criminals and pirates, different people, they were hung from that tree, and it sits in the middle of that bar. And you can feel the heaviness in there. You can feel that weird atmosphere in that place. That's my personal favorite haunted location down here in Key West.
Is the tree still alive, or is it dead and kind of cut back at this point?
It's dead. Yeah. The tree's dead. Yeah. But it just sits there right in the middle of the bar. And there's like a information placards around there. And there's a couple tombstones, people buried under the floor in there. It's a unique place in Key West for sure. Captain Tony's.
How could it not be haunted?
Exactly.
Know, that one is just at set one up point, to it
was
be haunted.
It was a brothel. It was a brothel and a bordello at one point in the 1900s. People have been having experience in there forever.
And I can't talk to you about Key West without bringing up Ernest Hemingway. Do you think he haunts down there as well?
His house is down here, right? The Hemingway House. Very, a very popular tourist attraction. People can go in there. The story of that place before Hemingway bought that home is pretty tragic. It was first built by this famous wrecker, this guy, Asa Tift. Asa Tift was one of like the richest people in Key West. He built this very nice mansion, what's now in the Hemingway House. He lived in there for a few years. Tragically, though, his wife and I think almost all of his kids, I think he had two or three children. His wife and his children, they all died of yellow fever in that house. So the Hemingway House itself, I've been in there a few times. I've never done like a ghost hunt in there or anything, but it's a little creepy. You can sort of feel that heaviness, that energy. In terms of Hemingway haunting that place, I'm not too sure, but I definitely believe that the Tift family lingers in that mansion. Yeah.
And it sounds like yellow fever, when it came through, it pretty much decimated that city then.
They didn't really know how it spread, right? They did very little to contain it. All across the country, it hit places really hard. Key West, it was pretty damaged by it. It made its way all the way out to Fort Jefferson, out of the Dry Tortugas, if you know anything about the Dry Tortugas.
I do not.
One of my favorite places. It's this amazing old fortress that was built in the 1840s. You can take a trip there now. It's a national park. Every day they run a ferry from Key West. It's about like a 2-hour boat ride to get out there. And it's this tiny little island. The only thing there is that fortress, this big old fort. During the Civil War, they used it as a prison for Confederate soldiers. The soldiers there, they died in some pretty nasty ways. They were very mistreated, right? A lot of them died of dehydration and malnourishment. But yellow fever made its way out there, and a ton of the soldiers ended up dying of yellow fever out there. Famously, it was where one of the conspirators for Lincoln's assassination ended up, Dr. Mudd. He was sent out to the Dry Tortugas, and that's where he lived out his prison sentence.
He was lucky he wasn't hanged like the rest of them.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
But they put him so far out, he couldn't escape.
Right, yes, yeah, there's nowhere to go. It's truly just this tiny little dot in the middle of the ocean. Also, I would love to go in there and like use some like a spirit box or something to see if I could pick up on anything in there. It's a cool place.
You know, I was thinking as we've had this conversation that what I think we've done is for all people who love to go ghost hunting and exploring the paranormal, we've really just put together a great vacation idea for them.
It's a good itinerary. Yeah.
Don't you think? This has been a great itinerary, all the places to go. And there's just so many other places in Key West that are supposedly haunted. You know, there's just so much to explore. And then not to mention, like the other day I texted you and you're like, hey, I've been snorkeling. Sorry, I missed your call or your text. it's really a magical place. But I think if you are interested in the paranormal, this is really a great vacation for you.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely two sides to the island here, right? It's a beautiful, naturally a beautiful place. And the people here are truly like wonderful and colorful. And it's just so much fun to be here. And then there's this other side of it, this history that you can easily tap into. And it's all very accessible around you. And the island's so old, right? There's very few buildings here that were built after like the 1900s, right? Just all around you, you're just sort of in this history that the whole time that you're here.
Because it is such a magical place when you go as a tourist, like I've done, and it's beautiful and it's colorful and you're right, the people are really interesting. But as a tourist, when I've been there a couple times, I didn't realize all this really interesting history about the island as well. I think what you really know going into Key West is Ernest Hemingway, as far as any kind of historical figure, but there's so much more. There's so much more.
Right. It's hard for people to get off of Duval Street, right? It's easy to sort of get sucked into it there. You spend all your time sort of drinking, which is fun. You know, that's a fun vacation.
That's okay too.
But it's just so easy to sort of experience these different things that you get to do here on the island, tied into the old history of it. It's truly an amazing place down here.
And with Ghost Key West, do you do the Robert the Doll experience of Fort Martello? Do you also have other tours they can take around Key West?
So we're currently only at Fort East Martello. Okay. We do the tour there every evening. But we're the only ones that get to get to hang out with Robert every evening. We're the only ones that have access to him. So that it's a unique experience to get to go into the fort. You get to explore on your own. You get to spend some time with the world's most haunted doll at the end of the night. It's a lot of fun.
Now that you've spent quality time with Robert the doll, and not like you have a lot of experience, I'm going to guess, with haunted dolls, do you really feel like it's valid what people say about him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've had people come back and apologize to him in person after they've taken the tour. And their experiences are just so bizarre. Last summer, these three local Key West kids came on the tour. And they were like, you know, they were like 18 years old. And yeah, they thought it was all really hokey, right? They came in, one of them made fun of Robert. They called him ugly before he left. The next night, I'm getting ready for the tour. These three kids, they show back up. They're super upset. They're asking to come back and apologize to Robert. They told me that the next morning after the tour, one of those kids had a little center console boat, right? And they took it out. They got like a mile offshore. They had no idea why the boat just sank out of nowhere. The boat sank and the Coast Guard had to come and pick them up. The Coast Guard brought them back to shore and they showed up later that evening to apologize to them.
Whoa. Do you tell them on the tour, you know, hey, I'm just going to warn you that if you say something mean to him, just know you might have to write him a letter or apologize.
Yeah, we give you the rules before we kick off the tour. The big one is about respecting Robert. It seems that the people that leave here with the curse or leave here and they start to experience things, they're the ones that make fun of them, right? Or try to test them to see if these stories are true. They're the ones that then end up having issues. The other big thing with Robert is asking him permission for a photo. Have you ever heard of that? I have not. It's one of the big things that people out there know about Robert. People believe that you're supposed to ask him permission before you take a photo. This is something that the museum created when they got a hold of Robert back in the 90s. On the tour, it's a big controversial part of the tour, but we tell you not to do it. Don't ask Robert permission for anything. Nobody's really sure what's inside of that doll, right? You don't really know what you start to interact with, what you're tapping into. So it's not a good idea to sort of give, sort of like put an object like that in like a position of power over you, right? Similar as to why people should take like proper precautions playing with Ouija boards and holding seances, right? You're not really 100% sure what you're interacting with in that moment. So we just tell people to keep it nice and even, nice and level with Robert, nice and respectful, and you should be able to come in and not have any issues when you leave that place.
And I think that's good advice for any haunted location you go into. Mm-hmm. If you have some respect for what's there already and don't antagonize it, and especially don't antagonize Robert.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
This has been such an interesting conversation. I was really looking forward to it, and it's just been fascinating.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This was a lot of fun. Very much appreciate it.
And then when I come down to Key West, I will give you a holler.
Yes, absolutely. Come take the tour with us. The fort is an amazing place to see outside of the hauntings that we just sort of talked about there. There's really interesting, eclectic, funky collection of Key West artifacts from throughout its history that it's awesome to see there as well.
That would be so fun. Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate this today.
Yes, thank you. That was a lot of fun. That was great.
And that wraps up our conversation about Robert the Doll and the hauntings at Fort East Martello and in Key West with doll tender Dan Radomski. For more information about Robert the Doll, as well as the Robert the Doll experience, go to ghostkeywest.com. And if you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. Also, all ad-free. For all of us here at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you for listening.